When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Bayshaw Tootin, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, back from the combine, back in our confines of our home studios here. Good to see you. Glad you traveled safe. We're going to talk today about some of the winners and losers coming out of the week we just got done spending in Indy. And also we have, we don't have up on the site yet, do we? But I guess soon we'll have up on the site our scorecard from the wide receiver on-field testing. How do you want to get started today?
I'll just jump into it, man. I'll be honest, I'm happy to be home. Happy to be home is 6 long days of not soft bed. That's not my own. But we're back. We're here. And some shocking stuff here when we got done with the grades. I didn't grade them until this morning. Get through, finishing up the counts, and some interesting guys that came through at the top for the wide receiver grades this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even have it pulled up, and so for people who might not know what we do, we did this for a long time. It was actually our buddy Mike Band, who now is with Next Gen Stats, and if you guys have been watching the NFL Combine and been paying attention to the Combine IQ stuff, that's been Mike Band, former Roster Watch OG. That put that thing together. And a while back, he put together this sheet for us where we would just grade out each rep by each player for the wide receiver on-field testing back in the days before media was allowed and before fans were allowed in the stadium. They allowed 20 people into the PFWA viewing suite to watch quarterbacks and wide receivers. And thankfully, thanks to the PFWA for like 8 years there, we got to go. And we were like, well, you know, how do we take advantage of this? And how do we, you know, how can we put a grade, you know, we have the 40s and the vertical jumps and all the rest, but how can we put a grade on the actual on-field testing? And so he's a spreadsheet wizard. He put together this spreadsheet where we could put our grades in and weighted them via ones we felt like were most important, with the gauntlet being the most important and then others being on a different scale. And we did that for, I don't know, 8-10 years. And it was actually pretty good. For some reason, we just kind of quit doing it. When Cody came on board, he's like, man, I like that on-field thing. And so we started doing it again. And I think this will be the third year we've done it since we took it back up again.
Yeah.
And so you sent it to me early this morning. I'll get it pulled up, but maybe you can give the people the kind of the overview of what we have as far as that.
The overview basically is the last 3 years we've done a base route grade, a gauntlet grade, and an overall grade. Then the overall is obviously a accumulation of gauntlet and base routes. The gauntlet's the first one that they do where they run across the entire field on the line, stay as close to the line as possible. And the base route grade is all the rest of the routes that they run throughout the workout. And over the course of the last 3 years now, we've had 111 prospects graded at the wide receiver position. Now, a lot of guys each year, this year specifically, there was, I don't know what it was, Sam Brown from Miami, Bo Collins from Notre Dame, Emeka Egbuka, Ohio State, so on and so forth, of guys that just did not compete in the event. So you might say, well, where's this guy? Where's this guy? The guy didn't compete in the event.
So where's guys. Neighbors or something, right?
Yeah. So there's 111 guys that competed over the course of the last 3 years, and our top tier, which is 25 plus points, it's a pretty strong group. If you look at historically, Tank Dell, Josh Downs, Puka Nacua, Roma Dunze, Zay Flowers, Tyler Scott is in there, and then Charlie Football is our golden son of the combine with his perfect 20 out of 20 score for the gauntlet. So he's still at the top. Somebody's got to go up there and get him. And this year, we three guys. Gonna
get Charlie Jones, man.
I don't know if Charlie Jones will ever get caught with that gauntlet, but yeah, there was three guys that entered into that top tier this year. So now we have 11 guys with 25 or more points. And I'll just nip them. Jimmy Horn Jr. from Colorado, Jack Besh from TCU, and Luther Burden III from Missouri.
Yeah, man. I mean, and here's the thing. It's not – Cody, that stuff goes so fast to where as you're doing the grades, you don't really know who you're grading. At first, it's a mad scramble. You're like, oh, wait. Like, okay, so Theo Weiss ran his 40, but there's no Theo Weiss doing this thing. So you got to figure it out. You got to scramble their names out real quick. And by the time it gets going, man, you guys watch the combine.
Yeah.
Now, you don't see every drill on TV, but you see a lot of them. And, whenever they're going from one to the next, you're not looking at who the player is. You're not really looking at anything. You're just like, next man up. Here's his grade. And then you flip over your sheet and you get going again. And so it's always a surprise at the end. It's like, hold on, Cody and I both have Jimmy Horn. And Cody and I aren't talking. There's no time to talk. It's just like, the only conversation that you and I had would just be like, wait, who's in? Yeah. Who's out? Like, was that Dante Thorne? Was that like, and then the other thing was just like, during the second wide receiver group was where I was just like, dude, I'm ready for this to be over, dude. You're like, dude, it's just like 10 more minutes, man. I'm like, it's hurting my hands. So you're not concentrating on who's really who, unless it's somebody that really, really just stands out physically that you just kind of know what they look like. Like whenever Jaden Higgins would go out there, I'd be like, all right, well, that's Higgins, or you know what I mean?
Daquan Felton, because he's so big.
Yeah, Juice Wells, because he had the big hair thing, like stuff like that, right? But like with the other guys, it's like a lot of these dudes from half a football field away, you can't see their faces and stuff. And so when in the end, Cody and I both come out with these good grades on Jimmy Horn Jr. And I mean, I can't help. We're going to talk about combine risers and fallers. I can't help but think that he's going to be some kind of riser here. Except for whenever I'm gonna put this up on the screen real quick, Cody. This is from the Combine IQ, and let's see, is this not the right one? One thing I did notice as far as Jimmy Horn Jr. on this, so my Combine IQ is having trouble sharing, but whenever they did the whenever he has a band put on the matrix of the production score and the athleticism score. And you always want the guys that are in the upper right quadrant, right? Cause you want the production to be high and the athleticism to be high. It's like the one thing about Jimmy Horn Jr. is he's small and he didn't test well. And, he was
tested all right.
But he's a feather over 5'8" and he ran,
4.46.
Was it 4.46 or 4.47? Either one, he was a guy who, whenever Trashman did the write up, said that he was probably gonna be one of the faster guys in the class. And
yeah, I mean, that was one we definitely expected. As far as the props that we've done well on all year, Jimmy Horn was one of the guys that we did expect to run in the 4.3. So I guess that is point taken. But as far as
just the matrix there, like if you look at it, he was kind of the worst as far as the production from last year and the overall athleticism score that Band has put together. And I could tell you,
well, the production,
go into what,
remember, he's playing with four potential NFL receivers.
Yeah, and I think he missed a game or two as well. But like the production was truly among the most miserable of I mean, we're talking 10% of the 10% of team receptions, 11% of team market share as far as team receiving yards, and just one touchdown was only 3% of that offense's total touchdowns.
I'm just going to say, you got to put context on. He's playing with Travis Hunter, who won the Heisman, LaJonte Wester, who had over 1,000 yards coming in as a transfer, and Will Shepard, who was at the Shrine Bowl, did not get a combine invite. He's playing, I mean, that's four talented receivers in one room. I understand the point 100%. I'm not trying to defend him, but I just do want to say it's the only guy in the class that played with three other NFL type receivers. I mean, I guess other than the old Miss receiving core had some guys too.
Yeah, for sure. So Jimmy Horn, who was, and Luther Burden.
Yeah. Like, so
another one I was glad to see, cause I'm having all this trouble at the top about Luther Burden. And that's going to be something that where I'm stacking it in his corner right now. I'm still not ready to name him wide receiver one. I'm on the verge of it. As soon as I finish up my eval on him, and basically, man, I'm down to one of my other risers for this class and Luther Burden for the wide receiver one. That's, I guess we'll get into that whenever we talk about the combine risers and stuff. But I thought that Burden, I guess I can't really say that going through the drills, I thought this and this and this about him, because as I freely admitted earlier, it's such a mad scramble. Half the time I didn't even know it was Burden. I'm just grading the player. Right. Yeah. But to see him come out like that was always good. And then, I mean, Jack Besh, I mean, he didn't run this week. And I think that was probably, you know, probably by definitely by design. I think he's probably going to run a 4.55, 4.56, something like that. Maybe he wants to take that thing back to TCU, where we know that they have the fast track there, as we've been, you know, going to those pro days for most years now, going back to 15 years that we've been doing the pro day stuff. I think that that guy's done nothing but really. Obviously great personality, great on the podium, great in his interviews in the Senior Bowl, was the Senior Bowl game MVP, great story to him, and then goes out and runs really good, really clean routes at the combine, does a really good job, excellent body control, all the rest of it. Besh is one of those guys who, when he's out there, you know, all right, well, that was Besh that just ran that route. So I have no complaints about how this thing, you know, it's like there wasn't anybody super weird except for Jimmy Horn, really, to me. It's like, what do you think about the whole Horn thing? I mean, what do you think about it?
Well, I was going to ask you a question about Luther Burden, but I'll come back to it. The Horn thing to me was, I was a little underwhelmed on the 40, and I just kind of expressed my output as far as my thoughts on his lack of production, which is still had almost 60 catches, still almost had 600 yards, still had 6 touchdowns in 2023. That was at Colorado. This year it goes down a little bit more because he misses a couple more games, but the yards per reception went up by 2 yards this year. He only had 1 touchdown, so that's kind of a blatant flashing sign out there. But they did have a little bit better of a run game. He had the Heisman Trophy winner and Travis Hunter next to him. And this is a kid that I think plays a little bit faster than what the 4.46 says. He's a guy, like, to me, I think when I think of like Isaiah Bond from Texas, his 40 going 4.4 flat, 4.39, he plays faster than that. The miles per hour tells you that. Matthew Golden from Texas runs a 4.29. He plays slower than that on tape, my eyes would tell me. And Jimmy Horn with the 4.46 here from Colorado, he plays faster than that 4.46. So some of these guys, when you see the 40, it correlates. Some of these guys, to my eyes and to the tape, when you watch a guy pull away or not in a game, it doesn't. And then on the field with Jimmy Horn, as far as the overall grading goes, I was surprised, and I think I realized it once we got towards the end. I was like, I realized it because, like you said, we don't pay attention to the names really other than to kind of make sure we're on track. And I remember going through and then realizing, like, every time I get to this certain part of the screen, it was like part of the sheet, I would get to this one spot, and it was like the one guy that was doing decent. And I was like, where is that guy? And then in between one of the breaks, I realized it was Jimmy Horn. I was like, I guess I've noticed those green cleats a little bit that he's wearing. He had like lime green cleats on. So I don't know. I'll be interested to see kind of where he stacks up. He's going to be 24 years old in the middle of the season this next year. I think he's a good receiver, but I still think it's probably going to be something on early part of day 3. My one thought on Burden, and my one question for you, Alex, I was using the Combine IQ tool, and I was looking at Luther because I did a show with our friend Theo from Player Profiler and Fantasy Points earlier, and I was trying to – he's asking about Luther Burden, who I have as my receiver one right now, and I'm actually kind of in the – and kind of, I guess, in the similar boat as you, is where, like, I have him there already. You don't quite have him there yet. And I'm trying to say, all right, do I want to put this thing, like, in ink? Am I done? Am I going to stamp it shut, sign my name on it, and ship it, put it in the mail, and I'll pick it back up on May 1st? And I pulled up the Combine IQ, and I talk about the archetype, which to me is 5'11", 6', north of 190 pounds, like south of 210, so between 190 and 210. And he runs sub 4.5. So if you take those three things, taller than 5'11", north of 190 pounds, short of 210 pounds, and a sub 4.5 40, he's got the second smallest hands in the last 10 drafts
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's
8.5-inch hands. The smallest hands was Colby Listonby from TCU in 2016, exactly 10 years ago. And he was 8 2/8. Burden's 8 4/8. The next size up, 8 5/8, was Antonio Gibson, Jacob Copeland, Cornelius Johnson, Deion Kane, George Pickens in that same category. He had 8 6/8. It's a very shallow hit rate. DJ Moore had 9-inch hands, but all the guys that are sub 9 inches, like the only real hit is George Pickens. And there's like 15 guys in this list. And that's the only, and I know it's like, it sounds stupid. You're talking about, like, it just sounds stupid, but it's like, it's the one thing that's kind of my hurdle right now, Alex.
8.5-inch hands is like, I'd forgotten. That was a data point that I knew we talked about there at the combine, but something that I'd forgotten about. But yeah, that, I mean, that's something to take into consideration. It's one of those ones you're like, wow, but he doesn't seem like he has small hands. When it, like he's one of these guys that has the vacuum cleaner hands whenever you watch, especially in 2023. It's like the other anomaly was with Ted McMillan, and he didn't work out or anything, but just seeing his, I'm just like, this guy, you know, measures in over 6'4", I yeah. think. Hold on, let me make sure about that. Yeah, 6'4 1/8, 219 pounds. And then you look at his wingspan, and it, like, he doesn't, I mean, his wingspan is 77 7/8. It's like, if you look at guys who with in this class with the higher wingspans, it's like, you have, all right, Isaiah Nayer, who's 6'3" at 83-inch wingspan. You have Savion Williams with an 81-inch wingspan. He's 6'3.5". You have Jaden Higgins, who's 6 foot. Jaden Higgins, who is what, 6'3.5". He's got a 79 3/8. Dante Thornton, who's 6'4" and basically 5'8", 79-inch wingspan. Daquan Felton, 6'4". He has a 78 5/8-inch wingspan. Elik Iamanner is only 6'1.5". He's got a 78-inch wingspan. Trey Harris, a 78 1/4-inch wingspan. Jacoby George from Miami, he's only 6'1.5". He's got a 78-inch wingspan. So you got these guys that are 6'1", 6'2", 6'1.5", all these dudes with the same sort of wingspan as Ted McMillan, and only one of those guys is taller than him, and Dante Thornton. So it's just, I just think it's another one of those anomalies as far as it's like what you see on tape isn't really the same as the way that these guys measured out with Burden and with Ted. And I think it's interesting that those are two of the dudes that are at the very top of the list as far as what people are talking about as far as wide receiver one in the class.
Ted, for that measurement, 6'4" and over 215 pounds. It's not terrible company. Kenny Golladay was at 76 3/8. Nico Collins, 78 4/8. So some guys, at least in the neighborhood of conversation.
78.5 feels bigger than 77 7/8, though.
It is. By definition, it is. We did see Kenny Golladay hit, though, at 76 3/8. To a certain extent, he didn't hit quite like the expectation for a Ted McMillan. Also, nobody in this threshold. This is so 220. So he's over that. So nobody in this threshold, though, has been a first-round pick. It's Colin Johnson, Nico, Kenny Golladay, Marcel Aitman, Jalen Hurd, Antonio Gandy-Golden, Michael Pittman at 79 2/8. Now you're just getting much larger at that point. Alan Lazard, 78 6/8. The point's taken. Like, it just doesn't equate to what the length is you'd expect it to be. And also, one thing, part of Ted's game is, like, it's viewed as, like, this catch radius that's ridiculous. And maybe at Arizona playing against Baylor and Texas Tech, it's a great catch radius when you have a great connection with the quarterback, right? But in the NFL, obviously, things get tighter and the game changes a little bit.
He's not going to have Noah Fifita there. He's been throwing it to him since he was in fourth grade when he gets to the NFL. Throw it up for Ted and see what happens. All right. So that's that. Anybody you wanted to point out is just having a terrible day as far as the on-field drills or anything like that?
One that surprised me, I'll give you two names. One that surprised me is Jalen Royals, who actually graded out as one of the better, top third in the gauntlet, but he scored one single point on the base route grades. He was pretty miserable as far as our overall grades. For the route running was Jalen Royals. He ended up with a 14, which is bottom 30 out of the top 100, 111. The worst grade in the class was actually the most athletic freak in the class at the wide receiver position, which goes to Isaiah Nair. Isaiah Nair from Nebraska, formerly of Texas, formerly of Wyoming. He's a guy that came in and actually, I mean, right next to Isaac Tesla as far as most athletic, but 11-foot broad, 38-inch vertical, 4'4 flat at 6'4", 218 pounds, super long guy. But the on-field stuff was not great. And, you know, I remember talking specifically last year, Alex, with two guys that were down this conversation was Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin is 111th overall on this 111 list. We talked about that last year. And Brian Thomas, I mean, one of the more miserable workouts, and Brian Thomas, who actually had a pretty good gauntlet, but scored negative in our base route grade. Brian Thomas's gauntlet was a 13.5 out of 20 for us, which is the best gauntlet out of anybody in this bottom 30 grouping. So, I mean, again, you could say we missed on him, but he's also just not a defined route runner. It's just not his game.
It's just a piece of the profile. It's not like these are our rankings.
Correct. It's a piece of the profile. It's part of the game. It's one little sector part of your 4-year profile, 3-year profile, your all-star game, your workouts, your athleticism, your pro, all this different stuff that goes into this together. Just another place we get to look at these guys. So I thought the Nair thing was interesting. And just for those interested, his gauntlet was graded at 7.5, not 13.5 like Brian Thomas. So those that are trying to look for that correlation of an athlete or a super long speed wide receiver that can play on the outside like a Brian Thomas, Nair is not that guy.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, and with all the show with Brian Thomas is he didn't run the routes very well, right? But we look at the gauntlet so much because it teaches you so much about body control, framing ability, tracking, being able to like hand eye coordination. It's like there's a reason why they run that drill first, why they run that drill twice, and why recently they've started to say like, heck, we want the DBs to run that drill now too. It's an important good overall drill for just seeing somebody's overall hand-eye coordination, their tracking, their framing, and they're just, you know, their ability to keep control of their body through a, you know, stressful athletic situation. So, what about winners and losers? I have a couple that I wrote out. Are we going to just kind of go one by one, or do you just want to list a couple that you have and then we'll do that? Of course, there's never a show sheet here at Roster Watch. I wanted to shout out our guy Stim T that's had some good questions. It's so funny that he says this. He says, what is Trash Man's maniacal trash grab? Nick Nash, San Jose State. In fact, it is. He had Nick Nash graded. Like we're about to get done with wide receivers. I'm just like, man, we've done like 45 write-ups on these guys. It's enough. It's time to start focusing exclusively now on getting these running backs stacked. So Trash Man, I'm deleting all of your grades because you still have Nick Nash ranked as the wide receiver 3 in this class. And it's throwing off our cumulative average that bad. So Stim T, you're a definite golden son here of Roster Watch to know the trash, to be able to identify the Trash Man as high on Nick Nash when he actually had him as number 3 in the whole entire class. All right.
Stem had another good question here. He said, where do you guys have Ladd McConkey ranked last year? I did not see that coming. It's interesting you bring this up because I'm assuming this is going to be a name you're going to talk about, Alex, and I might just walk you right into it. But your second highest graded player was Jalen Knoll. And I had him ranked rather high as well. He was my 6th ranked guy as far as – not ranked, but 6th graded, sorry. 6th highest graded player from combine workouts. Jalen Knoll ended up with 23 points, so just missed that 25-point mark to get into the top tier. The last 2 years, players with 23 points on this grading system at the NFL Combine. Last year was Ladd McConkey at 23. He had a 16 for the gauntlet, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 23.5. He had a 15 for the gauntlet. Jalen Knowles right there with a 23 this year. So we did have Ladd rather high. He didn't quite make it into the top tier, and Jalen Knowles right in that same category. Knowles just had a great, great process from the Senior Bowl to now as well.
It's hard to believe Ladd didn't make it. We said he was the best route runner of the Senior Bowl, right? All right.
He was. I think it was like second or third last year, though, behind – I think it was Rome and then him.
I have three wide receiver winners. I know because there's all kinds of running back winners.
Yeah.
It's like the winners are us as people that play fantasy and play dynasty. Yes. Like we're the winners. We're going to be able to take starting running backs for NFL teams for the first two rounds of our dynasty rookie drafts, which is going to present a really interesting question about when should these wide receivers, even these top ones, really come off the board? Because there becomes the question of opportunity cost. And what exactly is the opportunity cost between, say, Cody, you know how I feel about the Omari and Hampton stuff. But really, what's the opportunity cost between, Quinshon Judkins and a Dylan Sampson to RJ Harvey or whatever? Whenever you can take a Luther Burden or a Matthew Golden or a Tet McMillan or a Emeka Egbuka or one of these dudes, you know, super early, and you can say, all right, well, in the second and third round, I'm going to be getting getting into the second and third round, we can take, RJ Harvey or Dylan Sampson or, a little bit later, probably like a Breshard Smith or a Scadaboo or a Jarquez Hunter or a Damian Martinez. Or, who knows where Bashiel Tootin's going to go after this week. So there's going to be a million of these running backs. There's going to be 25 of them that are just like that you're going to want to have. How do I turn that off, dude? Bugging me. Now, why does Byron always text during the podcast?
I think that was me.
Okay. Why do you, you know what's going to happen.
Michael Mayer's in the trade block. That's what the text says.
What was I saying? Okay. So 2025 of these guys, it's like, well, the wide receivers you're going to be taking in that same area where you're going to be taking those running backs that could be total game changers for you are start to feel like these kind of scrubby players, right? So Juice Wells and Tez Johnson and stuff like, you're not going to want to take these guys in dynasty. So it's almost like it's going to be a tough kind of puzzle making the dynasty rookie cheat sheets this year to make sure that you guys are taking value at every turn. But certainly we're going to make sure that that's the case. And those are, as always, we'll be out the Sunday after the NFL draft. My winners, wide receivers, I have Matthew Golden. I have Dante Thornton from Tennessee. I didn't write in Jalen Noel. I think that he's a winner, but he didn't really change that much in mind because I had him ranked high to begin with. But I do have his teammate, Jaden Higgins, as a real winner from Iowa State. And then I have, it's hard to deny now that we probably need to have a reevaluation on Isaac Tesla from Arkansas. I had to move him up a whole lot. He's a guy that I liked at the Senior Bowl. I thought he was good, seemed very, very dependable. I went and kind of watched him a little bit more today. I thought that, after maybe this week of workouts, maybe a comp I came up with, it's not exactly right, but he has a little bit of Eric Decker to him. The athleticism testing for him is just really, really, really good. And he's been good at every step of the process. Seems like a upstanding, good guy. I don't know, Cody, just your thoughts on that. I think Golden is pretty self-explanatory. Dante Thornton, it's just his profile keeps coming. I mean, he had a 3.74 yards per route run at Tennessee last year, one of the best in the whole entire class. So we know that's a good predictive metric. And this guy at 6'4.5", 205 pounds, just goes out and blazes. What did he run? It was blazing. Is this right? Like, this isn't a 4.30, is it?
No, he didn't. Who? Dante Thornton? 4.30? Yeah. Yeah.
That's insane.
So Matthew Golden broke the record for fastest 40 by a receiver over 190 pounds since 2003. Now, again, that's not a record because it's a categorical thing. But in the Combine IQ database, if you go back to 2003, at the wide receiver position, 190 pounds plus, Matthew Golden runs a 4.29. Breaks the record of Darius Hayward Bay, right, 20 years ago, 4.30. Well, that's exactly what Thornton ran, was a 4.30. So Thornton, had Golden not run a 4.29, Thornton would have been the name of the, like, he would have gotten much more of the publicity, right?
Right.
You know, and people like Thornton coming out of there, coming out of the stadium. You know, a couple of the people we talked to were just like, Thornton was the big winner. And it was like, well, I thought he was good. I didn't think he was fantastic.
Yeah, just more and more I looked at the overall profile. And the people who told us that coming out of the stadium are influential people, right? So yeah. That's what kind of made me want to go back and look. And it's mainly the yards per route run that stuck with me. And also the fact that he's not like I figured he was probably one of these guys that's super old and stuff like that. He's not going to turn 23 until almost Christmas time. Yeah. So I really liked him. Higgins, just a really good, solid athletic profile. Good Senior Bowl. Mr. Steady Eddie through the whole week. And then you look and see that he's got the wingspan that's 79 3/8 inches. Big enough hands at 9.5. And just a dude that after the Senior Bowl, we had pegged it. Like, this guy's going to run a 4.6. He comes in and runs a 4.47. Good jumps too. So I think that Jaden Higgins is somebody, it's like, how much more do you need the guy to prove to you? He looks like he's going to be good. And Alan Lazard plus.
There you go. I was just going to say, I think he's going to be a tough one, an interesting one to find a comp for. Because I saw some Nico stuff float out, but it's a different way, completely different play style with Higgins. But I think Higgins and Noel, both Iowa State guys, have grown a lot over the course of the process for me. I think they're both going to end up in the top 10. Tesla, you brought up before, from Arkansas, maniacal, 6'3", 214, almost 11-foot jump, 4.05 shuttle, almost a 40-inch vertical, runs at 4.43. You brought up Decker, and as you were talking, I pulled up a guy from last year I'll just say it. He's a second-round pick. We are big fans of him, and he didn't quite run this fast, but he ran a 4.41. He was 6'1", 190. And when I look at the grades from the combine, I'm like, man, 4.5, 14, identical grade as Ricky Pearsall from last year.
Hey, Pearsall's a pretty decent conference. I'm going to add that one in too. I hated that they're all white guys.
White on white crime.
Yeah, I hated that they're all white guys. We really try not to do that, but. Sometimes it's just.
I'm just being honest. I mean, the guy ran a 4.4. I mean, what did. So yeah. Tesla ran a 4.43. Ricky runs a 4.41. The guy's got 15 pounds on Ricky, but they had the same exact. I mean, the situations are eerily similar. Both played in the SEC on some underwhelming football teams, bad quarterback play. Like,
I like that. It's good. That's good.
You can tell the story, right?
Yeah, no. Pearsall's a great one. That's a really good comp. Not quite as acrobatic. I don't think Tesla can like catch a ball with one hand and like do a backflip at the same time, the same way that Pearsall can. Do you have any other winners? And then we can talk about a few losers.
Winner, I had Terrence Ferguson, the tight end from Oregon. This is a guy that in this tight end class that is just viewed widely as just like the top dogs, right? It's Tyler Warren from Penn State. It's Colston Loveland from Michigan. It's Elijah Arroyo from Miami. None of them work out. None of them do anything on the field. And Terrence Ferguson, I thought, had a good day. And he's at 85 catches, 9 touchdowns, and over 1,000 yards the last 2 years combined. And he puts out an athletic day. Runs a 4.63 at 6.5, almost 250 pounds. He comes in at 247, 39-inch vertical, 10-foot broad jump, 80-inch wingspan to boot. And the athleticism, if you look at it from those couple metrics, 6'5", over 240 pounds, with over a 10-foot broad jump, he's the slowest out of this group, but this is a very athletic group. Albert Okwuegbunam, Mike Gesicki, Zach Kuntz, Jimmy Graham, Theo Johnson, Bucky Hodges, and Jelani Woods, some of the most athletic tight ends we've thought of, you know, in the last decade. And those are guys where Terrence Ferguson put himself in the conversation. And I think as a tight end, we saw Terrence Ferguson at the Senior Bowl. I think he was one that I was interested in coming out of the Senior Bowl. Not guys that I loved, but guys that I was interested in seeing more from. I wanted to see more from Terrence Ferguson. I wanted to see some more from Gavin Bartholomew. I wanted to see some more from Brenningstuhl from Clemson. And I think we saw the most. I mean, Brenningstuhl ran a 4.75. Bartholomew ran a 4.70. Both guys weighed in north of 240. But Terrence Ferguson was at a different level in this tight end room. So I think Ferguson I forgot to say Mason Taylor as well in there. Mason Taylor did work out a little bit. But it's a good, very good tight end room. And I think Ferguson puts his name up into that top six conversation, whereas Gunnar Helm for now from Texas may have fallen a spot or two.
All right. How many losers do you have? Do you have a list of them?
Yeah, I got a couple.
I got three. Do we start with one of mine first?
Yeah, you can start.
Okay, well, I have two wide receivers, and I have and this one other guy. Number one, Will Howard.
Thank you.
Ohio State quarterback. I just can't with this guy. Tough. This is our 14th year doing this on this tour, or I guess our 13th combine because they canceled it in 20, whatever. They canceled it for COVID 1 year, at least for the media. And I just can't. I can't remember somebody just looking so bad out there, just throwing balls by like 5 yards behind guys, just not understanding the simple route concepts. It really just gives you. It really to me, it gave me an appreciation for guys like Quinn Ewers and even Dylan Gabriel, just the dudes who would just know where to put the football to give us a good eval on these wide receivers. You look back, and I hate it on my sheet, my combine testing sheet. I'm having to put these X's on it for these receivers, and we're having to remember to go back and look. It's like, all right, well, this guy needs another throw. This guy needs another. And it's always it was always the Will Howard throws. I'm just like, what's wrong with the guy? And you have the fan. You know, I guess I'm not the best with Midwestern geography, but I think that Ohio is pretty close to Indiana. So there's
the next
state
over.
Yeah, there's a ton of Ohio State fans there, right? And yeah. So there's like they're all kind of cheering. But even the Ohio State fans at a certain point, like they had to stop cheering for the guy because he was, you know, he was just so off. And so in a class of quarterbacks where it's just very nebulous after the top two. And I think with those top two, maybe a little bit nebulous about how good they're gonna be anyway. I think he made it a little bit easier to say, you know, if you had any cockamamie idea that it was going to be, you know, Chip Kelly now is in Las Vegas and maybe like they would be well off to take his national championship quarterback as some kind of, you know, quarterback of the future and bring in a bridge quarterback too. And, you know, Chip will know how to deal with him. I'm just like, man, I'm just like, I don't know if that's a good idea. You know, if you're going to take somebody, like that, it's like my son when he's 4 years old, like if out camping, going out there to take a leak, you know, he just sprays it everywhere, you know, like he doesn't know what he's doing. If you're going to take somebody like that, I mean, why not take Milroe?
Why not sign Matt Corral?
Matt Corral was out there dropping dimes to those running backs on the wheel routes.
It was
so
tough.
Mine is Will Howard. He looked so bad.
That was tough. I think Will Howard was the number one quarterback fall. I'll just say overall, Will was one of mine. I'll say overall at the quarterback position, man, I don't even know if Kyle McCord threw. That's how much I don't even know if he existed there. Dylan Gabriel. How small he was.
He's too small.
The lack of pure arm strength. Like every time he wound up and threw the deep ball, you could tell everything was in that thing. And he overshot guys a ton.
He threw some zingers, though. I mean, you got to admit, he threw some zingers. Like,
But man, it was like, you know, it was the definition of playing catch in your shorts and shirt. Like there's no pads on. Like that was the definition of it. Was I think of Dylan Gabriel dropping back and he's like, all right, man, I got a 7-step drop and I'm going to take 4 crow hops and I'm going to throw as hard as I can. It's like, well, that's just like not realistic. Whereas like the dropbacks, a lot of these other guys were taking and how they kind of went about the process, I thought just felt different. Mm-hmm. Quinn felt the most natural, but it was clear that the arm strength wasn't quite there on those deep balls. He left a lot short. I was just having this conversation with Matty Cume on the phone a minute ago, Matty Cume from South Harmon, our good friend. And he's asking me, like, what was the big takeaway? And this is what I'm getting to right now. What I'm talking to you about is overall the quarterback position is like deflating. Like, we knew it wasn't good, but from Will Howard down to the fact that, like, you know, the Dylan Gabriel stuff, the Kyle McCord stuff, Riley Leonard is, he's just way too skinny, way smaller than I ever thought he was. The Quinn Ewers and Jackson Dart thing. Quinn is so natural, but lacks that true strength that, like, if you put an attribute on him for like Madden, his arm strength, I'd put like a 71. And at Jackson Dart, I'd only put it at like a 72, like a notch ahead. But the way that Dart throws the football, he's more accurate. And he can get the ball there, but it's a lot more strained, similar to Dylan Gabriel to me. And overall, I'll just say the loser in this group is the whole quarterback class. Like, we're just losing because of this quarterback class. We did not get to see Cam Ward or Shador. You know, I'm going to try and drive down to Miami and watch Cam Ward because, I have – my hopes are diminishing with the Shador thing coming out of the combine. I just hope Cam Ward can at least get us a hit at the quarterback position.
The my next loser, I have two more. My next one's Tez, man. Tez Johnson.
Pour one out.
Yeah, it's such a weird one because I'm not sure if you have his numbers pulled up. I think he had a good three cone or something, or good shuttle. And it makes sense because he's good, you know. You told the Senior Bowl, he's good at getting open and stuff like that, but we just said, man, this is not a tank though. We're not jumping on this bandwagon. We're not going to do it. This is a different kind of thing. This is the
5'9", 154.
I forget who the
Kayvonte Turpin.
No, it's just the
Trey Tucker.
No, I'm just trying to think of the name of the guy who came out from Ohio State. But there's like the Calvin Austin. It was KJ something from Ohio.
KJ Hill
from Ohio State. Like, these guys that are these small guys, these option routes, these giving them a two-way go in the slot versus the corners of the Senior Bowl, yada, yada. We've said it a million times. These guys are going to get open in these spots. They got to show that they're a Tank Dell kind of little mini monster, you know, for us to completely get on board, right? And we said we don't think that's going to be the case with Tez Johnson. Tez, what, 5'9"? 156 with 29 and then 7/8 inch arms, 8.5 inch hands. And at 156, where he can get blown away by it, I think that's smaller than Tutu Atwell. He can get blown away by a stiff breeze. And this dude comes out and he runs a 4.51. It's like, that ain't it, man.
I don't want to dampen, I don't want to make it any more depressing or anything, but the, he actually lost 2 pounds from the Senior Bowl to the combine.
he was losing it to try and get sub 4.5. What are you going to get down to?
If you knew you were going to run like that, like, you just have to. And again, this is a much larger conversation that you can talk about, multi-positional, and it's just about the combine and understanding the process in general. But we're not even agents, and we can say, all right, there's a thought out there that this Tez guy is going to be a 4.3 receiver. On tape, he looks like you could tell yourself a story. He's a 4.3.
Oh, dude. Yes.
Right? You could tell yourself that story. All right. So if I'm your agent, what am I going to do? Alex, you're Tez Johnson. You are not running the 40-yard dash at the combine, and you're weighing in at the combine at 162. Done.
Yeah. No.
You're not doing it. You're not running, and you're weighing in heavy.
And then come back to pro day. Don't weigh in. Get down to 145 or whatever. Gosh, it feels so weird to say. See if you can run sub 4.5, and then that way they're going to say you were 162. You ran a 4.49. They'll probably think it's fine, and they'll say his play speed's better than that because we know that it's always going to be 5/100ths of a second faster at that home field with the hand times. So it could have been something like a 4.47 or a 4.46. So that's it. Cody, I have one more loser. Anybody else that you wanted to talk about, though, before we get out of here with the final thought?
Yeah, I got a running back. One that at the Senior Bowl warned us that he was going to run fast, and one that, you know, when we're talking about the depth of this group, we've seen him have a lot of big games in college, and I thought he was closer to the top of the running back 8 to 20 range, and now I think he's going to be surpassed by a lot of guys, whether it's Montrell Johnson from Florida, Jarquez Hunter from Auburn, Damian Martinez from Miami. It has to be Devin Neal from Kansas. He runs a 4.58. He jumps well, but he runs a 4.58 at 5'11", 213 pounds, small 8.5-inch hands, sub-30-inch arms. I think just overall the Devin Neal profile took a hit because, you know, he isn't getting hammered nearly as much as Isaiah Bond is, because Isaiah Bond opened his mouth a little too far and said, I'm going to break the record. Neal just said four threes, and he wasn't anywhere near the four threes, and his play style doesn't really show 4.3 or 4.4, and he ran, you know, in the 4.5s, which is not good when you're comparing yourself to this group of running backs that is the most prolific we've ever seen at the combine, of guys over 200 pounds running sub 4.5, and Neal's not one of them. You have to be special if otherwise, and I don't think Neal is special.
Well, you stole my final one. So it's Isaiah Bond. So everybody knows Isaiah Bond gets up on the podium, asked if he's going to run the 40. He says, I'm going to break the record. And they're like, what are you planning to run? He's like, if I don't, you know, I'm either 4.2 or somewhere in the 4.1s, and goes out there and goes from a standing ovation from the crowd to 4.4 seconds later, boos and kind of like mumbles and jeers and stuff like that, right? So obviously disappointing from him, but also just disappointing from stuff we're hearing behind the scenes, from some reviews he's gotten, just from some of the off-field stuff that they're looking into, maybe some personality stuff that is being revealed from both his time at Alabama and at Texas. So maybe a little bit of a loss sort of there for him. Cody, I'm going to ask you, among all the skill position guys, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight end, is it possible to say that the biggest winner and the biggest loser in this whole draft class 2025 both come from the Texas Longhorns?
Oddly enough, I think that's the truth.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.